All right. See everyone right here. I know you want to see me, but I want to see you too. Okay. Well, we are finishing up our series today on I Want to Believe, But. I want to believe, but there's some reason. And the idea is generally this, that there are just so many people that are just truly on the fringe. And we've talked about really the reasons that maybe the main reasons these days that might be holding people back. I want to believe, but today we're going to talk about I want to believe, but sometimes God doesn't seem fair. And this one might be one of the biggest ones today. You know, we've got bad things happening, and it seems like God is big and he's powerful and he's good. And if that is true, then he could do something about it. But it seems like, man, if that is true, he's not. He's choosing not to do something. There's some pretty messed up stuff that's going on. And I do appreciate how the Bible is not a cleansed version of reality. It's very true and honest and open with us. We have the history, the Bible history of really just things that seemed senseless at the time for our heroes of the Bible, even. David, the man that probably is kind of like one of the heroes in the Old Testament, you know, he basically did nothing wrong. He was faithful and loyal, and he served the king and the army and God well. And just because the king was jealous of him, basically the king and his entire army started to seek to kill David. And David spent years living in caves and hiding and on the run and living in foreign countries. That's not right. He was loyal. He was faithful. He did everything right. And the king hated him for it because he was jealous of David's popularity. David was popular because he did right. If you want to find something that's messed up, if you want to really get your mind messed up a little bit, read Job. Read over Job again, right? God's up there in heaven, and Satan's like, God's like, hey, I've seen Job. He's an awesome servant. Job's like, well, let me mess with him a little bit. Then we'll see. And we see the story unfold where God allows that, right? And in the end, just after Job has just lost his family, his kids died, all his property's gone, right? He's got his friends picking on him. I thought it was, some people like to make it the joke, but I thought it's kind of like an extra jab where all of Job's family dies except for his wife. It could be he had an awesome wife, I don't know, but we find out that the wife he had was like, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, thank you, godly wife. You're so awesome, right? So maybe left him with the one family member that would make it worse. I don't know. But I don't think she was a Proverbs 31 lady. But anyway, the idea is just sometimes tough things happen and it almost seems senseless. Almost seems senseless, but there is the ending of the book of Job, and there is David's vindication, and there is God in there all the time. And so we want to address today the idea that when God does not seem fair, what does that mean? And is he really there? Or what does that mean for us as believers when God doesn't seem fair? I want to start with Peter. He's writing to some churches that are out like in the country. So like if we lived in Columbus and we were writing letters out here to churches like this and friends out in the country, he's writing to friends out there and they were having a tough time. And they are probably in the place where it's kind of like, Peter, we know you, we respect you, we love you. We heard about Jesus who you love. We're trying to do things your way, but man, people are killing us for it. We're getting beat up. It just seems like we're doing everything right. What's going on? Where is God? It's not fair. Peter. And so Peter is addressing really that hurt that's going on, and he says this. He says, in all of this you greatly rejoice. He's talking about their salvation. You rejoice in all the salvation you have and how good God is, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Then he says this, These have come so that, so in other words, there's a reason. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is worth more than gold, that it might result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Number one is, sometimes God doesn't seem fair, but God does have a purpose in my pain. There was, I saved this story a long time ago where there was this little girl, and she was old enough to go to school now. And they talk about how school is different for her. So when she gets in the lunch line, instead of doing what the kitchen staff normally do, instead they make up her tray separate, and they're like putting ice cubes in her chili soup, and they're doing all the things that they can do so she doesn't accidentally burn herself. What her deal was is she had something wrong in her brain where the things like pain didn't register, and so she could be burning herself and not knowing it. If she fell down and cut herself and was bleeding, and she might go on about her day not knowing that she's got an open wound. She didn't feel the pain. There was no trigger to say, ouch, this is bad, stop the pain, for her to go and seek help and ask for people to heal her. She didn't have that trigger to say, God, I need you, or Mom, I need you, or I need help. And there's that pain there. It was for a purpose. And it was just this beautiful article that's kind of like, you know, we're always worried about the pain. Man, without pain, think about how different this girl's life is going to be. So for the rest of her life, she needs someone else to look out for her just so she doesn't hurt herself. And every little day things, even just eating lunch, let alone all the playing sports or going to work or wherever she does, maybe she's sick and something's going on. Everything she does, because of the lack of pain, she's at a greater risk. You know, we talk about the joke is long worn out now about the McDonald's coffee was too hot. It matters, right? Because that pain is an alarm to tell us something's wrong. So often God has a purpose in the pain, and maybe sometimes we're getting off the path and we could be hurting ourselves, and we need to stop and call for help and be like, you know what, I didn't realize what I've gotten off into, Lord, and I need help. I'm hurting. The pain has made me just not worry about all the little garbage that usually gets me distracted. I'm putting all that aside. All I know is, Lord God, I need help. Or, Lord, I need you to send some of your people who love you, and I just need friends to come along and be rescuers like you used to send rescuers in the Bible. Lord, that's what I need. And so on and so forth. Often God has a purpose in my pain. Sometimes when God doesn't seem fair, we can remember this, that God is present in my pain. Psalm 46 says this: God is our refuge and our strength. He's the ever-present help in trouble. And a lot of times we, especially like in small groups, stuff, when we get together with other believers, you know, we share those hurts sometimes. And some of us even here in this room, I know, have had long ongoing hurts like, God, when are you going to heal this? Or when will it ever be resolved? And you're not alone. That's a common thing. A lot of people have to deal. And so there's that place where we can go, we can seek the Lord, where he is with us, and we can find a refuge in him. So one example would be, sometimes it seems like, Lord, this is crippling my ministry. Or, Lord, this is crippling my time with my family. Or, Lord, this is a hindrance. This is a bad thing. But often when something's going wrong and we stop and we take refuge in him, it is really the source of our strength. And so one fantastic example would be the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, he was on fire for a while. So first of all, it's like, you say you don't believe in God. You say that God is not real, or he's not loving, or you don't like Christians. Well, no one didn't like Christians like Paul didn't like Christians. Paul killed Christians, right? He was so against this new way of worshiping God. And eventually he saw the light, literally. Right? And Jesus Christ knocked him off his donkey or whatever. And he became a servant of the Lord. Right? And so he spent just a few years just getting to know the Lord God. And then God just opens up this ministry. And it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. Right? And Paul's doing all these great things. We got these stories where people like touch Paul with like their hanky and take it back to their sick friends, and that guy gets healed. It's just crazy stuff, right? And God's just doing awesome stuff through Paul. But then he says, and all this, God sent me this like troublemaker, this person to annoy me. This, it's like a pain in the flesh. It's like Satan to keep me down, and it's to keep me humble. He's like, I had these, it's like God gives me great revelation. And to keep me from being arrogant, God allowed this thing to keep me humble. So now, everywhere I go, he's got this, we don't know what it is. He called it a thorn in the flesh. It's this thing that everywhere he goes, he has to deal with it. Maybe it's an ongoing, lifelong sickness. Maybe it's something as simple as his eyesight was dimming. We don't know. There's all these theories, but there's something was going on. And for the guy who was shipwrecked, for the guy who was beaten and whipped, for the guy who was stoned, like the death sentence, I'm going to stone you to death. He went through that. Like God's like, okay, I want you to go and witness the city. Okay, they're going to put me in the electric chair. You're just going to get fried and you're going to live through it. Right? That's Paul. He was stoned. All this stuff, you would think if there was anyone that God would answer the prayer for healing so that he could maybe run a little faster in ministry, it'd be this guy, Paul, right? And so Paul's saying, Lord, I'm doing all this stuff for you. I've been through all this. Could you heal me? Could you take this thing away? And God's answer was basically no. He's like, it might not make sense, you know, Paul might be saying it doesn't seem fair, Lord. I'm doing all this. Could you give a little here? But God's answer was basically, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so now it's kind of like this. Everywhere Paul goes, he wants to do good thing. He wants to do the thing for the Lord, and he's dealing with this. And so I'm just guessing, just from knowing other Christians that have gone through this, I'm just guessing they've got this ongoing dialogue with the Lord. Okay, Lord, need to go talk to so-and-so, but about ready to throw up, or I don't know how I'm going to walk in this leg, and I need you to get me through the next step, and I need you to get me through the next step, and I need you to get me to the next doctor's appointment, and I need you to get me to the next day of work, and Lord, I just need you every single moment. God, I need you right there, like my refuge, right there with every step of the way. And the people that have ongoing lifelong pain, and they often, not all of them, but often those who are close to the Lord say that looking back now, they wouldn't have it any other way because they have had to cling to the Lord and it has changed their life in such a way where they know God like they never would have known him had they not had that trouble. We had in our own community school shooting last year in West Liberty, and just so happened that maybe not just so happened maybe it's on purpose, we don't know, but one of the victims was a young man who's a Christian man, right? Logan Cole, and he's a Christian and his family are strong believers, and he lived through that. And it's kind of like, God, of all the people that could have got shot, I'm serving you, Lord. He could have said that. He could have had that attitude, but he didn't. And now he's got this fantastic testimony. You know what happens when you have a testimony like that? Here's what happens. Like, you've been through all that, and when it's time for you to give your side of the story, everyone listens. Like, if Logan speaks up about going through hard things, people listen because he's been there, right? And God really has been his refuge. So when Logan talks about God is my refuge, people are like, okay, their defenses come down. I want to hear, how does this work? Right? Show me how God is real when you've been shot by someone who had ill intentions, right? And so Paul had this thing in the flesh, and maybe you have something going on in the flesh or in some relationship or in your family or at work, and it seems like it could be as simple as you have an important meeting to get to and your car breaks down. It could be as terrible as I've got cancer and it doesn't look good, right? Anywhere on your spectrum, it's like, God, it might not be fair, but God says, I can use it. I can perfect you in this weakness. It can be your strength until you might even change your tune to be sort of like Paul. And Paul said, I'm sorry. And Paul said this. He said, three times I pleaded for the Lord to take it away. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And then he changes his tune. He says, therefore, if that's the way it's going to be, Lord, I'm just going to boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Jesus Christ may rest upon me. And so for the sake of Jesus, I'm going to be content with my weakness. I'm going to be happy with my insults. I'm going to be okay with my hardships, with my persecutions and my calamities. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, I've lived through that. Now I know that. I know that's true. And then there's finally this. So it's kind of like, I want to believe, but God doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. How could you allow that to happen, Lord? And I think, especially for a non-believer, here's the kind of the final answer. And I wanted to pull something from Old Testament. This is so good. Remember, this is before Jesus came, and this is still what God said and what God was like. It says, God does not treat us as our sins. Help me with this. God does not treat us as our sins what? Deserve. He's not treating us the way we deserve, okay? Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. The truth is, God is not fair. If he was fair, that'd be bad news. He does not give us what we deserve. Thank God he doesn't give us what's fair. So here's an example. When I was a kid, and my parents love to retell the story, this is like the bad thing I did growing up, okay? So when I grew up in this small house, we had two little TVs, and the main TV's out there in the living room, right? But mom and dad, they had like the old TV in their bedroom. So if they're watching something that I just didn't care about, I would say, can I go and watch like cartoons in your bedroom? And sometimes they say, yeah. So go back in the bedroom and I'd turn on that little TV and I'd watch something else. Well, one night, it's late, we're all in bed and mom and dad are laying in the bed. And back then the thing was, it was to have a water bed, right? Remember that? No one has water beds anymore because it sounds, yeah, now it even sounds silly. But back then, that was kind of the thing, right? Having a water bed was like, now I got a nice bed. And you had to like save up and it kind of cost a lot of money, right? Because that'd be like extra tough so when you rolled around it didn't explode or whatever, I don't know. So they're laying there in their nice water bed. We were just literally pig farmers, right? Didn't have that a ton of money, but they had this nice water bed. Laying there at night and my mom says to dad, are your feet wet? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I wonder if there's a leak. And then mom says, I think my elbow's wet too. And so they're like, what is going on? So they pull back the covers and it's leaking there. It's leaking there. It's leaking there. It's leaking there. And they finally are like cleaning it up and they're like turning on the lights or figuring it out. And there are these pinholes in this. It's not like a tour. It's like someone poked these holes in their waterbed. And so they literally woke me up in the middle of the night. Like, Scott, did you poke holes in our waterbed? And I said, yeah. Why did you do that? And I just told him the truth. I have no idea. I don't know. I was just watching cartoons and there was this, mom had a straight pin on her dresser, so I don't know what I was thinking. I just started poking holes. This dumb kid, right? hundreds of dollars back then. Mom and Dad were just making it by, and they eventually blossomed, but we didn't have a lot back then. And so they're just dumb kid, just like ruined their night of sleep and hundreds of dollars of this, having one of their nice water beds. And so it's like, now they, in the middle of the night, have to go get the hose, drain this whatever 100-gallon thing. I don't know how big it is. Yeah, do all the work of draining it out so it doesn't leak all over the bed and the floor and the rest of the house. This is their night, okay? Just because I decided to do this. Now, what would I deserve in that sense, right? If some stranger came in and did that, what would be like the obvious thing to do? Probably take them to court, right? Have them pay for damages. I mean, something about deserve in there somewhere. I don't know how you figure it out, but somewhere along the way is all their time, all that money. Now they've got to go get something else, right? Or find a way to patch it magically, patch all those patches. I don't even remember what they did. But somewhere along the line is deserve. And I got to tell you, I did not get what I deserved. I probably should have had to work it off for, I don't know how much, I probably didn't make any money back then. I probably would have worked it off for a year or so, right? I did not get what I deserved. If I got what I deserved, it would have been so much worse. And the truth is, if we all got what we deserve, it would not be good because we've all broken God's law. If God gave me what I deserve right now, this place where I'm standing would still be smoking a year from now, right? Because I haven't sinned against God just once. Probably many, 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 many times in my life, right? I probably only stacked up what I deserve. And if payday came now, it would be terrible, right? It's no longer about deserve and thank God. So what he did instead was, God is definitely not fair, but he is still just. He does still care about doing things the right way. So instead, he agreed to send his son, Jesus. Jesus came, and Jesus came willingly, right? And he came and did what was not fair. And it was not fair for his son to come and pay for all of our sins. And Jesus came for every hole I poked in that waterbed. Every time I did something terrible, every time I disrespected someone, every time I gossiped about someone as an adult, every time you fill in the blank, every single time as we mounted up our sins, Jesus willingly came and paid for every one of those. And thank God it's not fair. It's not fair that he did that, but he did. And so, now we live in this world where we still have sin, and God allows some things to happen. Sometimes he has a great purpose in it, and he might want to draw you close, or he just might need to correct some terrible wrongs, right? We know that he will be with us through the hard times, and we know most of all that it's really not about fair anymore. It's not about deserve anymore. Really, he is truly merciful. We can thank God that it's not so much worse, you know? If you drove here in a car today, congratulations, you're in the top 5% of the world. You were just born where you were at. Didn't do anything before you were born to deserve that, right? If a flushing toilet, that's awesome. Right? Someone else who's probably way better than me lives in a country where he has to walk a couple miles for water every day. He's probably way better than me. I probably deserve way less than him, right? It's not about deserve. He could say, God, that's not fair, looking at me, right? And so we thank God. We thank God that for his mercy. And when times are tough, we know that God can use that if we allow him. We look for God's purpose in the hard times, and we know when it's extra hard, he is with us. As long as we seek him, we chase after him. He said he is faithful to be with us in all those things. And I've even heard some of your testimonies about how it's hard even right now or recently, and we talk about how it's going in your quiet time or something like that, and it's like, you know what, sometimes I just hear like, I've just called on God and he didn't fix the whole thing, but he got me to the next step, and then he got me to the next step. And I think this year we should probably line up some testimonies and get the people up here. And there's some great testimonies in this house. I think we should really share them, right? And I was calling Terry's sister. She agreed to come. And there's lots of great testimonies. And I don't think we talk about it very much because we're afraid of this idea where God's not fair. But the truth is, he's always there with us. So let's pray. If you would stand with me. And just take a moment. Just take a moment and quiet yourself. And if you had to bring one complaint against the Lord about what is not fair or when it doesn't seem like he's there, let's take a moment right now. Is there any purpose in it? Could God be using that for good right now? Have you been seeking him, and have you found that he's a refuge and he'll help you to the next step and then the next step? Do you have a friend who might be saying that God's not fair right now? And maybe we're part of what God wants to do to get them to the next step. Maybe we're part of God's refuge for them. Maybe they just need your help just to see God's purpose in all of this. Father, thank you so much that it is not about what's fair and it's not about what we deserve, Lord God, but truly you are both somehow just and merciful. You're both just and you have such grace, Lord God. Thank you that you are with us in the very, very hard times. Thank you that even when something terrible happens, that you can use it for a great purpose, Lord. And so many great testimonies, Lord God, it's because you've been there in the hard times. Lord God, thank you so much for sending Jesus to take what was not fair, to take what was what we deserved, and now we get what he deserves instead. Thank you so much, Lord God. We honor you. Help us to be your light this week in the world, in a world that is sometimes hard. And we give you all of our thanks and praise. In Jesus' name.